So I found in my life that one of the ways to overcome sin is to be aware of God's presence. You know, think of it physically. God wants us to be aware of the presence of Christ more and more. It's not there in the beginning. We should be. When we receive Christ into our life, He's come to dwell in our hearts. But if we don't, it says, practice the presence of God, recognize that the Lord is here. If we don't develop that habit, it's very easy to go through life without even being aware of God's presence. But if you live aware of Christ's presence, it'll keep you from sin like anything. And one place to practice it is in church on Sunday. Because Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, I'm in their midst. That's more than me alone. I mean, we can work out our life such that we come to the place where even if you're alone, you're aware of God's presence all the time. But that takes a little while as a single Christian to be always aware that Christ is with me. But in the beginning, try to be aware of Christ's presence when you're in a gathering like this. Many times I've said this, and I want to repeat it again. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst. You all know that verse. I want to ask you an honest question. Give an honest answer to yourself. When you were singing today the praises, how many of you were aware that He was speaking to Jesus Christ here, who's in our midst? Be honest. Were you talking to Christ, who's in our midst? Or were you just liking the song and maybe shaking your head? And you see how in a place where the Lord Himself says, I am present, we can go through a whole church service singing a whole lot of songs and we just enjoy the song and we're not aware of Christ's presence. I want to encourage you to sing songs which are directed to Christ. That's what I do in my life, in my personal life, in my personal devotion, songs that are directed to Christ. See, I'll tell you honestly, I've said this many times, I'm against a lot of these modern songs because they're not directing us to devotion to Christ. I don't want to be critical. I realize that babies need some help. But we're not to be babies all the time. For example, that song we sang today, I Still Have Joy. It is a song filled with getting people to be pity for myself. In spite of all the way people have treated me, I still have joy. Please feel sorry for myself, but I still have joy. I never sing it. Now, if you want to sing it, if you're a baby, please continue singing it. I'm saying babies have to feed on milk bottles. So I'm not telling you to get rid of the milk bottle. If you need that song and it helps you, please sing it all your life. But all I'm saying is try and grow up. So there may be some people who need it. Oh, everybody's treating me so badly, but I still have joy. But I say, I never want to sing a song where I feel sorry for myself, because I don't feel sorry for myself. The more I feel sorry for myself, the more I will hinder my own growth. I don't have to feel sorry for myself because I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of God's kingdom. And my sins are all forgiven. There's absolutely no need for anybody to feel sorry for me. I'm triumphant in Christ. Even if you haven't got victory over all sin, you're in Christ. You're in Christ, the Son of God. The Bible says you're seated in the heavenly places in Christ. And try and sing more of the songs that you'll sing in heaven. Will you sing in heaven, in spite of all the way people have treated me, I still have joy? You'll never sing that. I'll tell you what they'll sing in heaven. Lord, you're worthy. You're worthy of all praise, and your attention will be concentrated on Christ. And because we are in a sin-cursed earth, as we think of the awareness of Christ, we'll be aware of our own sin. And then, you know, for example, songs like we think of the purity and the holiness of Christ in the light of which I see my own sin. Like we sing, ever when tempted, make me see, O Lord, beneath the olives moon pierced shade, my God alone, outstretched and bruised and bleeding on the earth he made. That's thinking of Gethsemane. I would encourage you to frequently think of Gethsemane and Calvary. My God alone, outstretched and bruised and bleeding on the earth he made, and make me feel it was my sin that made him lie there like that, as though no other sins were there on him except mine. And that my sin was to him who bears the world a load that he could scarcely bear. I sing songs like that many times. It increases my devotion to Christ. And songs of worship to him. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Because ultimately, what we're going to enjoy in heaven for all eternity is the presence of the Lord. Get into the habit of developing the presence of living in the presence of God. Because the greatest way to overcome sin is to be aware of God's presence, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe the Holy Spirit makes us aware of Christ's presence. Think of, for example, husbands and wives who are frequently having conflict. You think singing a song which feels full of self-pity is going to help you overcome? No. If you can be aware that in your home, when you're talking to your husband or your wife, Jesus Christ is right there, it'll make a world of difference the way you speak to your wife or your home or to your husband. 24 hours of the day. That's the way to overcome sin in your home. That was my longing from the beginning, that I want to recognize the presence of Christ in my life, that I will never raise my voice at my wife ever, 365 days of the year and 366 days in a leap year. Make that your goal, because you're living in the presence of Christ, and practice it in the church meeting. When you sing, Lord, I want to sing to you. I want to worship you. You're here, and I want to be aware you're here. Even if some of the songs are exhorting one another, I want to be aware that you're here. Let me show you Hebrews chapter 2. Who is the real song leader in our church meeting? There may be a human song leader, that is just an assistant. But it says in Hebrews chapter 2, the Lord says, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11, he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He's talking about Jesus. And listen to this. Jesus is saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers, and we are his brothers. And in the midst of this church congregation, I will sing your praise. Do you know who's the song leader here really? Jesus Christ. Recognize him as the song leader who is leading the church in praise to the Father. That verse has been a tremendous help to me. In the midst of the congregation of the church, Jesus is singing the praise of the Father, and he's leading my praise. So there must be more praise in our life. More songs of praise to the Father, and not inward looking. There must be inward looking occasionally. But the more you look inward, you're going to be depressed. The best way to see our sin is by looking at Jesus. When I look at Jesus, I'll see my sin. If I look inwardly, I'll get depressed. See Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, we read that we are to run this race. How are we to run this race? Not looking inside ourselves. No. Looking unto Jesus. How do we judge ourselves? Looking unto Jesus. When I look at Christ, I see my need. That's how it is. We run this race, it says, fixing our eyes, verse 2. Looking away from everything else unto Jesus. That's the meaning of that word. Looking away from everything else unto Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, because there are so many things in the world that try to take our eyes away from him. Onto ourselves, where we get depressed, or self-pity, where we got to sing songs of self-pity, thinking of all the problems we are having. Rubbish. Don't think of your problem. Think of a Christ who is triumphant and who's overcome and wants to lead you in his triumph. That's how I seek to live. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, because, and we look at him as one who endured a greater more painful cross than anything any of you are having a cross in your life. Think of the cross Jesus bore. I don't mean the final cross on Calvary. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, take your cross up every day and follow me. You know Luke 9:23. If any man will follow me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, do you think he could have said that if he did not himself take up his cross daily? If Jesus did not take up his cross every day for 33 and a half years, he would be a hypocrite to tell me to take up my cross every day for 33 years. So think of Jesus. I must look at Jesus as one who took up his cross every day when he was a little child at home, in dealing with his brothers and sisters who did not believe in him, and all the people who teased him and irritated him at home, and all the problems he faced throughout his life, he just took up his cross. That's the Jesus I follow. And that's what I'm encouraged. I never feel sorry for myself. Self-pity must not be there in the life of a Christian. It may be there in your early days when you're a baby, where you feel sorry for yourself, like little children sit down and cry. But you should be growing out of that. If you've been a Christian for 5 or 6 years, brother, you should finish with self-pity. What are you feeling sorry for yourself? You're a child of God on your way to heaven. Christ is your Savior, and you've got an inheritance reserved for eternity. And you're thinking of yourself, feeling sorry for yourself. For what? God wants you to be a conqueror. Romans 8:37 says, more than a conqueror. And that, if we are not more than conquerors, just to say that we are preaching Christ coming in the flesh, it's just a lot of garbage. Christ came in the flesh means he overcame. That's the great truth we preach in CFC churches. That Jesus was tempted like us and he did not sin. I remember all the years I was defeated by sin. The years when I thought I had to battle this. And of course, Jesus was not like me. He was God. He could easily overcome. But a day came in my life, a little over 50 years ago, when I saw Jesus was tempted like me. And he did not sin. That's the thing that changed my life. In fact, 1 Timothy 3:16 says that is the secret of living a holy life.